Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this February 3rd, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Silver Foxes. We have Chris, Tronda, Jerry joining us. Looking forward to talking with them. Right now, in studio, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Crew. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, James. How are you today?
Doing good. How are you doing, man?
I was good till I just heard the weather lady say 9 below, and it didn't feel like that till she said it. But
we're going to spend the next 20 minutes telling people how to stay warm. Yeah. That's all we're going to do.
My hand just got cold just thinking about it.
Immediately got a shiver from that. Yeah. Scott, I want to talk to you about a couple of different things today, and I want to leave some room for you to have the floor for anything you might want to touch on.
It's all free-flowing, man. It's all good.
I wanted to start, because we do local radio here. We focus on local and Wisconsin politics. But because of your background, you know how it is. I like to pick your brain about world topics at times, too. So if you don't mind, I want to start there.
Yeah.
And one of the bigger things that is being talked about right now in the news, especially with politics, is the George Santos situation.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I hate to start on a moment like that, but I don't want to talk necessarily about him.
Right.
I think that there's been enough talked about him. For those that don't know, he has admitted in the recent leaked audio that he was lying about all
these things. My favorite part is all the Facebook memes about everything that comes up. Or do you see some of these commercials that are out there? They're just, I mean, it's just the parody of it is just, anyways.
I don't know why. I thought this ever since, like, I watched the first episode of CSI.
Yeah.
Like, why do people try to get away with anything anymore? Like, you can't even jaywalk and not get, you know, like, there's always going to be, there's cameras, there's this. Nowadays, with the amount of data that there is out there, they're going to do their homework. I mean, you can't just throw things around and not expect people to look into your
background. Yeah, maybe in the 70s or 80s, you could fudge a resume.
Maybe.
Who's going to, you know, I mean, come on, though. Yeah, it is. It's insane.
It is a personal story to me in some ways, because anybody that would lie about Jewish heritage or losing relatives in the Holocaust, it obviously hits a little close home to me.
Yeah.
But I would like to think that that would affect anybody. Anybody would be bugged by that. Because I don't think, I know that nobody in human history has ever said, I like being lied to. Like, nobody likes that.
Right. Yeah.
Now, it would be one thing, I think there would be a learning moment here. Had all this come out, and had he done the classy thing, the honorable thing, and kind of been like, yes, I lied, I'm owning this, I'm excusing myself from these committees, I'm excusing myself from the job.
Period. Yeah.
As far as I'm just kept refreshing, just to make sure before it happened, didn't happen while we were going on live here and everything, he still has not resigned.
No,
he still
he
is
won't.
In position. Yes, you're right.
Flat out says, I'm not. And it's just, it's bizarre because... you know, when you see a situation like that, I always go back to my initial conversations when I started getting involved in this. And, you know, we talk all the time about how I admire Tommy Thompson and just the way that he carried everything and the way he went about politics in Wisconsin, how we need to get back to that. And I always remember him just telling me that, you know, you just tell people the way it is. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, at least they respect you because you had the courage to tell them exactly the way it was.
Yeah.
How hard is it? So, I mean, we've been doing this for the last few years, and I tell people, hey, this is the No BS Express, man. If you want to hear it, you want to yell at me about it, that's great. I've been in law enforcement, married twice, had six kids. You're not going to do anything to me that I haven't been through already. So I don't get guys like this. And, you know, I talk about this with some of my colleagues in Madison. I'm like, you know, I wish it would be that easy to get into Congress in some of the districts we represent. It really shows how great the people are that represent our districts in Wisconsin. Because it is almost impossible to get a congressional seat in Wisconsin because we have such high caliber people. But then you look at some of these other places in the country with guys like that get elected to Congress, and everybody's like, oh, okay. Like, wow, what I wouldn't give to live in that district and just say, hey, you know what? There's this guy, or you could do this. And it just... It's mind-blowing at some parts in the country. Yeah.
I want to focus on two parts of this. One, the vetting process that is involved. Do you think that we need a better vetting process or need a vetting process, period, when it comes to, you know, representatives from every level being, you know, putting their hat into the ring before it even gets to that point, vetting these individuals and seeing, hey, do you meet the quote-unquote requirements? because it's a dicey area. It's a gray area. Right. We all love the fact that we all grew up being told anybody can grow up to become president.
Yeah, the requirements are you got to be this age for Congress. You got to be this age for whatever. You got to be a resident of your district. I mean, there's not, educational requirements because we're all different people, all have different expertises, and it all adds into this huge collective pot of information that we all tap into, right? So that's great. I don't want a litmus test of some sort, but it comes back to voters in those districts being aware and understanding and open to, being educated about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we go knock on doors every 2 years here for my campaign, it's not difficult for me to convince a voter to vote for me because I've been here. They know me. Mm-hmm. I've helped them or somebody they know. I don't know what the situation is there, and especially in a congressional seat where there's not a lot of door knocking.
Yeah,
it's more mail and TV and things like that. I wish that vetting process would be on an individual voter basis, just to say, okay, who is this guy? Who do I know that might know this guy? Let me have a conversation. I get how people are busy, and I get how the world has changed in the last 30 years, and how social media dominates that, and, information gathering, quote-unquote. Yeah, yeah. You can't see my air quotes on radio. Sorry, I shouldn't do them. But
I do it all the time.
Right. But that's where it comes down to the voter's responsibility, just to make sure you actually know the person you're voting for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to put any other requirements on it besides that.
The vetting process has to be an individual, voter thing. Anything above that starts to get into some dicey area of the haves and the have-nots maybe or right. other things and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just get away from this R and this D thing. Mm-hmm. It's beyond time to move past all of this stuff. I mean, just because I live in a Republican-leaning district doesn't mean I'm voting for the Republican if it's a guy like George Santos.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Come on. I might get castigated a little bit for this, but I've actually voted for a Democrat in my life before. Right? you pick the person that's going to best represent you in the area that you live in, not just because they have a letter behind their name that you like.
It's the spoiled position I'm in, Ed, that I used to talk with Carl about this, or actually I should say Carl used to talk to me about this, and I finally get where he was coming from now. It's like, James, it's different here. In our area, the representatives we have, the people we have, it's not so much about the D or the R or any of that thing as much as about the issues and the people.
Yeah.
So we're a little spoiled in some ways around here, and rightfully so. We've earned that. We voted people into office that had do these things and actually, represent us in some way or another. But it also gives me a pause to look at the rest of the country and say, well, if it's working here, it could work in other places. Yeah. And it brings me back to Gary Hart. Yeah, because when we were kids, that was the biggest story in the world at the time.
I mean, can you imagine it now? It'd be like, oh, okay, whatever.
Gary Hart would just double down.
Right.
He would just double down on it and everything and just keep going forward because that's the new bit. It's not in owning your problem or owning your mistakes. It's doubling down and saying, well, yeah, I did lie and I'm still here. Look at me. And the idea of
what are you going to do about it? Yeah,
And I don't want to sound like, because I understand the company I work for and everything and the majority of our radio, but that's not my radio. That's not the way I run things.
Yeah.
And they know me. They know how I do things, and I won't be here much longer if they don't like it, so that's okay with everybody.
Same here.
But I'll say that both sides can be guilty of this, but we see right now a lack of shame in politics.
Yeah.
And That has a trickle down effect. That isn't a real trickle down effect. Where if I'm a little kid and I'm watching that and I'm seeing representatives, I'm seeing politicians, I'm seeing presidents who have no shame, who double down on things instead of owning their mistakes.
Yeah.
What do we think the next generations are going to do when they're in those positions?
It's a perfect timing to talk about this. So the AP broke a story yesterday about how they got some internal documents from the Trump team back in 2020. About how when they saw that they were outflanked by the Democrats in the election, the conversation automatically turned to, let's plant the seed.
Yeah.
So, whoa, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You started seeing some inkling of it in 16, and you saw it again in 20. And now there's this trickle down that you mentioned that goes out to the populace, to a certain percentage of people that say, oh, yep, that's got to be what happened.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is getting dangerous. This is getting dicey. This is where it leads to things that happened in New Jersey the other night where a sitting councilwoman was assassinated. This is where this rhetoric is taking people that don't want to listen to both sides of a story And it's scary. Yeah. It is flat out scary for anybody that serves in public office to listen to stories like the councilwoman in New Jersey who was assassinated just for her beliefs. A great woman. She's dedicated to her church, dedicated to her family. Yeah. Everybody liked her except for, I call them the crazies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who just, I did air quotes again. What am I doing? It's weird. But yeah, it's just, and you think about where all of our families come down on those types of things when they see stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hurtful to see all that rhetoric coming from the top down.
I was just talking about this in the recent weeks with our sheriff's department, and Sheriff Becker and I have talked about this a lot. The first conversation I had with him off air was, look, I want to do my best. Part of what I feel my job is to get the information you want out there and to show that you're a human being.
Yeah,
you're not a
right.
badge. Yeah. You're a human being.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about our representatives. We need more of this in society. You can disagree with a person. It's hard to fight an idea. It's hard to fight a statement or something.
Right.
And if you just break that down and just look at the person, hopefully we can, you know, clear out some of this stuff. We've always had crazies. We've always had insanity in
right.
politics and in the world and all this.
They just never had the megaphone before.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's where it came down from. And that's why this session I decided I wanted to take on the assembly campaigns and the election stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not my background. It's not my forte. It's just, it's one of those things where you need an adult in the room.
Yes.
You need to have conversation. You need to have a way of actually getting something accomplished, understanding that different political parties are at the top of each chain of government. If somebody wants something changed with the election integrity issues right now, it's got to be something that's got to be agreed upon between the legislature, which is Republican, and the governor, who's a Democrat. Well, you know, I don't have a magic wand,
mm-hmm.
so the other way to figure that out is to compromise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That dirty word, right? Oh, my goodness.
Horrible
right?
word, compromise.
I know. And people keep saying, well, if you compromise, you're giving up this, you're giving up that. I'm like, but if you're getting 90% of something that you want, how is that a bad thing?
Right?
I mean, there's a good way to compromise, there's a bad way to compromise. I could roll over and take whatever I'm given, or I can fight for the things that make sense and that I would say are the important things in the argument. It's not an awful thing to do. I mean,
yeah.
I don't get where this fell out of favor. I don't get where we can't have conversation anymore. I'm in real estate. I mean, I got into real estate because I like making deals.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, politics is sales, and that's exactly what both of my jobs are, is it's all about sales, figuring out who's got what and how to get the other person interested in it and make it work. So it's the same exact job, just a little bit different location.
You're on the more on the front lines than I am when it comes to constituents and going door to door and everything. I know from my end of things that I'm seeing bits of hope, not just in our state but around the country.
Yeah.
Are you seeing some of that too? Because I do think that you got to go through the darkness to get to the light, kind of thing. And I think that
we've said that 100 times on the show in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's gonna get nasty. It's gonna get dirty. It's gonna be dark. It's gonna suck for a while. But it always comes back around. If you look at the history of politics throughout our nation and the rest of the world, you're always going to go through these corrective periods, I call them, where then, you know, you get back to a time between, say, 2002 and 2015.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after everybody kind of got over the 9/11 initial mm-hmm. shock, mm-hmm. everybody was kumbaya for a few years, and that kind of played out till 15. And then 16, mm-hmm. something changed, right?
Yeah.
And now we're in this corrective period, 16 to probably 24, you'll probably start turning around.
Sure.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, that's the thing that I always end on.
Right.
I believe in this country. I believe in the people of this country. I believe in our democracy. And I don't believe that any one person or any one thing is going to tear the whole thing down.
Right.
I don't think that's even possible, even if you wanted to. Like, I don't think you could do it. That's the way the system is built. Our democracy is built so that can't happen.
And even if you're a mega-type Republican...
Mm-hmm.
Which there's nothing wrong with those principles and those theories, right? I mean, I get that. I mean, I liked the things that were accomplished under the administration. I didn't like necessarily the way it was sold and the way it was pitched and the way it was carried out. But even if you're a mega-type Republican, there's never going to be anybody that's going to convince me that there's only one person that could ever lead that type of movement.
Right, right.
I mean, the only time I ever believe in one thing that's going to lead anything is my belief in God.
Right.
And we're not putting one person at the level of a deity in American government. That's just not how it works. So even if you get to those points, be open to who can lead that type of movement besides just saying, that's the only guy. Mm-hmm. There's no way anybody else is going to be able to do what he does. I'm like, that's not how it works.
I think we'll save this as we get a little closer. I've been sitting on the whole thing of the Trump-DeSantis thing.
Yeah,
one of these days, I would love to get into that with you a little bit more. Yeah. There's a couple of things I want to talk about with you today, but
absolutely,
that would take at least 20 minutes to talk about, I think.
Yeah, we'll book that for when it gets closer.
Sounds good, yeah. I do wanted to talk to you about this article that came out from Wisconsin Public Radio. Shout out to Ryan Keene with the nice reporting. Amtrak's plans for Wisconsin and the greater Midwest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting to me, especially my background where I come from in Illinois. You can't get anywhere without Amtrak or the L, you know, or any of these things.
Yep.
Public transportation is huge in there, in most states, especially in like a state like Illinois. I've always, since I've lived in this state, I love Wisconsin, but I've always wondered, well, we could use a little more of this, it seems like. Can we get, I don't know, and I don't mean to put you on the spot with this, but if there's any history to why this hasn't happened before, maybe, and what you think this could do for our state.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's a conversation that started a couple of months before I took office. After my election in November 2010, we had a big conversation about federal government was looking to give grants out of the stimulus funds to states to expand high-speed rail.
Mm.
And Wisconsin was on the block to get a grant from the federal government for something like $3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And then elect Governor Walker said, no, I don't think we're going to do this. So let's just put that on the back burner.
Mm.
And then as we started watching these expansions take place all over the country, we started seeing where the federal government money was tip of the iceberg for what the cost and maintenance of these projects would be. So there's a project in California right now.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, the cost overrun was like 80% of the project.
Yeah.
I mean, and yes, we've got a surplus in Wisconsin, but I don't think we can afford to supplement that much of the surplus into high-speed rail when, honestly, you know, the levels that we would need are nowhere near what Chicago would provide, right? We go from Chicago to the Dells, basically, which is usable, but even those numbers are very sparse and hard to support expansion right now. Maybe if you had the Fox Valley to Milwaukee to Chicago, maybe there's some oomph there if there's some opportunities for money besides coming out of the state budget. But I just don't see anybody, even the governor, wanting to take state budget dollars right now putting it towards Amtrak expansion. But it's out there. I mean, every budget we have the conversation about public transportation and how it is impacted by our transportation budget. The governor took some of the money that we allocated for local roads, put it towards public transportation projects. It's out there, but I don't see high-speed rail being in the conversation anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, because I agree with what you're saying there. At the same time, I'm seeing the numbers of car sales going down, of people driving going down.
Right. Yeah.
And I would hate to get into a situation where we got to play defense instead of offense on this subject and have it too late. These things take time to build and stuff, and we don't want to be sitting in a situation where we need this and we're waiting years for it to happen.
Yeah.
People being able to get to work, people being able to get to appointments and things, vital part of the human experience.
I mean, you look at everything that I've done the last, 15, 16 years. I commuted to Green Bay every day from central Wisconsin. I'm commuting to Madison almost every day from central Wisconsin. I am not the exception to the rule.
Hmm.
My dad commuted from Rapids to Wausau for 20 years. you know, and it's the way that central Wisconsin works is, you know, everybody's a commuter. Nobody lives and works in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the bigger cities, that's more and more of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
But we also look at everything that's going on nowadays, and work from home is massively huge.
Right.
Right? So I've got all these people that are coming into Wisconsin Rapids buying houses that used to live here, but they've got a job in Minneapolis, or they got a job in Los Angeles.
Mm.
So those two things balance out really good to say, well, maybe not yet, but you know, I get where you're going with it, though. I'd love to see us have a new revenue stream to be able to support that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something outside of the pressures that we already have on the big five things that we spend, education, corrections, you know, public safety, examples like that. You know, and one of those things that we have that conversation constantly about this session is marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a revenue stream?
That was my next thing.
Right. I mean, toll booths, is that, you know, there's revenue streams that can be tapped into. You know, if we can get some of our Illinois friends to pay to come to Wisconsin a little bit more, it might help.
It might, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and it would be smart on their part. It would be only because there's plenty of people that work in from Illinois to Wisconsin, you know, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that would make a lot of sense. Obviously, the jobs it would create and those things are all great, but you don't want to, I mean, there's many small towns like ours that deal with this where you've got just empty buildings sitting right. there. You don't want that either. Right. You don't want something that on that end of things. We've only got 5 minutes, so we have no we're near the time to talk about
plenty
this.
Plenty of time.
You mentioned legalizing marijuana, and we've touched on this a little bit here, and Senator Tessin and I talked about this recently as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not so much curious about how you feel necessary, because you've already told us of how you feel about this. How much closer do you think this is to actually happening? Because I think it's only a matter of time before, and I'm only talking about the legalization of medical marijuana.
Yeah, right. So here's the grand scheme, right? So the legislature and the governor have been fighting for 4 years on pretty much everything and anything, right? We write a bill, he vetoes it, blah, blah, blah. We all fight about it in the media.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting tired,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think both sides have kind of said, okay, let's put this aside. Let's figure out what we can actually agree on.
Yeah.
And I think there's some room that we could see a grand compromise come up in the state budget. Something that I've wanted to pitch for a while is we've been talking on our side of the aisle, air quotes again, about the ability to have universal school choice. Let parents send kids wherever schools they need to, public, private, whatever it is. The money follows the kids.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a good product as a public school, that's great. You just, you know, compete. Just make sure people earn their way and blah, you know, all that stuff. And the governor has been talking about recreational marijuana for 6-8 years now, saying I wanted something better, bigger, open. I would love to see a grand compromise where we made a trade with the governor. Like, here's your medical marijuana program. Maybe we even get to a recreational marijuana program. We're going to tax it 15%. We're going to take the proceeds of it, put it towards universal school choice. You get what you want. We get what we want. People in Wisconsin see we're getting things done. Kids are better educated. The more libertarian people like myself have a little more freedom to deal with. If you wanted to use a substance, great. If you're not, you know, I am a libertarian at heart. What happens inside the four walls of your home, that's your business, not mine. I'm in Madison to deal with state budgets, public safety, not to worry about gay marriage and marijuana and these things.
Yeah.
I am open enough in 2022 or 2023, I should say now, to know that the world's changing around me. I'm fine with it if we can get to it. I think the Senate's there. I think the Assembly is very close.
It's also a matter of I say it's a matter of time before it happens. I think because that's the way the rest of the country is going.
Yeah, tell me why it already is.
I think about our farmers. I think of our ag industry.
Right.
I think of people dealing with cancer that need this for
pain. So many people are driving
things
to South Beloit. So many people are driving to the UP.
There's a ton of Wisconsin money being spent in other states around us.
Yeah, so it is happening already. So why not just rip off the Band-Aid and get this thing done? So,
do you think now, as far as the your coworkers and everything in Madison, that's one thing. What about constituents? What about when you talk to people? Do you think that your people are becoming a little bit more open to this? Because it's not surprising now to hear a politician D or R in front of their name be in favor of this or talk. Like open-minded about it.
Right.
Do you hear people talking about it that way?
So when I talk to groups nowadays and I talk about, okay, we can get some of these things you want if we're able to give some of the things they want type of discussions, everybody's like, yeah, just get something done. I don't care what it is. Just do it.
Yeah.
Would you please just show that we've sent people to Madison to actually get something done?
I think that's the most consistent thing I hear from people.
Right.
Is just getting, and not so much what you're getting done, just get some stuff done.
I just want to hear that you guys passed a bill, the governor signed it. I don't care what it is. Just
right.
Like, I want to see a picture of people getting pens again. Yeah. You know?
Free air, everybody.
Yeah,
everybody's going to breathe for free from now.
Anything.
We'll take it. We'll do it.
Yeah, people miss the handshake pictures. I think people are there. And when I bring that up as one of the things we would trade, everybody's like, yeah, okay, so what?
I always like to wrap up on a good one here, and we are just we're this much closer to pitchers and catchers showing
up. 12 days, man, it's
right around the corner.
I can't wait.
I love that hat, man. Scott's got an awesome Milwaukee Brewer hat on. I haven't seen that one. That's
it is
cool
held
one.
Up throughout the entire last campaign. I wear it to the Y every day, so this thing has been through the ringer, and it still holds its shape. It's falling apart a little bit, but this is my favorite hat I've ever had, so I'm going to be sad when it disappears. But
We hang on to our hats as long as we can. I've got one from, like, high school, I think.
I'll tell you the story of what I was in ninth grade. I had a pair of Magic Johnson Converse that I wore them for, like, like 3.5 years.
Yes, I remember those.
Oh my God, those purple and gold, beautiful.
Yeah, they were awesome shows. Oh, yes.
Anyways,
Scott, we always appreciate the time. If people have follow up questions or want to talk to you about other things, you certainly are always open to taking those conversations. How can they get a hold of you?
Cell phone. It's always on 715-323-3293.
Looking forward to hanging out again real soon. You take care of yourself. And you and yours have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Take care.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.